Turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. We do appreciate the ministry of the choir, I can tell you that. And their faithfulness to sing these hymns that have a message. And these hymns that you can hear the message. And we're looking forward to the cantata in a couple of weeks. Just 2 weeks to Easter. It's amazing, isn't it? Staff, don't forget the meeting Tuesday night at 7. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts from your word tonight. We need you to be our teacher. We need you to direct our thoughts. We need you to take the message of this word and help us to see it. We're living in such critical times, and we need to have the light of your word to show us where to stand and where to go. And so to that end, we pray that you would bless our study tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to continue thinking about Paul's words here in this first verse. We have talked about his words, that he is an apostle, not of men. And now we're looking at his words here that he is an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Man did not make Paul an apostle. God made Paul an apostle. That might seem like one of those statements that we hear and we say, okay, so move on. But those words, neither by man, are some of the most critical words concerning the pattern for the local New Testament church that we find here in the Word of God. There is, as we have talked about, a pattern for what we might call the structure of the local New Testament church. It's to be independent. It's to be fundamental. It's to be non-sectarian. And there's a pattern for the leadership for the local New Testament church. We just talked about this with the recent selection of elders and deacons. And what we've seen here in the Word of God is that elder and deacon is an office. Pastor and teacher is a gift. Wednesday night, we looked at Ephesians chapter 4. And we saw that unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And in verse 11, we read that the Lord Jesus gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4 tells us why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I'd like to just say something briefly, if I may. We don't have apostles today as we have them here in the New Testament. We don't have men who have seen the Lord Jesus with their physical eyes or who accompanied with Him during His earthly ministry. We don't have prophets today. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us that. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That is not happening today. The prophecy that began in Genesis 1:1 was closed in Revelation 22 and verse 21. And now, that which is perfect that which is perfect that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10. The complete Word of God, that which is perfect, is come. And as a result, that which is in part, apostles and prophets and working miracles and speaking in tongues, other languages, those gifts have been done away. And so the gifts to the church today are evangelists and pastors and teachers. We read about those in Ephesians chapter 4, and those are the ones we are thinking about in our study. But there are also gifts of helps and government that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And ministry and giving and ruling and showing mercy that we read about in Romans chapter 12. But our focus is Ephesians chapter 4. And what we saw between verse 7 and verse 11 of Ephesians 4, in verses 8 through 10, is that the gifts that are mentioned there are inseparably related to Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross of Calvary. Man has no more to do with the giving of these gifts than he has to do with God's work on the cross. Man has no more to do with the giving of these gifts than he does with the saving of his soul. Salvation is of the Lord. And these gifts are equally of the Lord. That's what Paul is talking about here in verse 1 when he says, Paul, an apostle, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And Paul is well qualified to understand the difference between being made by man and made by God. That's what we want to think about tonight. There was a time in Paul's life when he was made what he was made by man. Turn over, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We want to begin reading at verse 3. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 3. Paul says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." And then he says this, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Verses 5 and 6 here are what we might call Paul's curriculum vitae. In other words, it's a short written summary of his career and of his qualifications and of his education. Notice, first of all, the words there in verse 5, as touching the law, a Pharisee. That is what Paul's education trained him to be. And then, as we'll talk about, Lord willing, what we see in verse 6 concerning zeal persecuting the church, that is the effect of the education that he received. Now, if you can, keep your place here in Philippians and turn back to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Here in this chapter, Paul is going to give us the details of that education that he received. Paul has come to Jerusalem. And while he is in the temple, he is taken by a mob which was stirred up by a group of Jews from Asia. And he would have been killed in all likelihood, except the noise of the uproar that was taking place came to the Roman authorities. And they stepped in and delivered Paul from this mob. And when Paul was able to tell the captain of the guard who he was, this captain of the guard thought he was that Egyptian. He asked him in chapter 21 and verse 38, "Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? Aren't you that guy?" And Paul was able to tell him, "No, that's not who I am." And so when Paul was able to tell him who he was, then he was given liberty to speak to the crowd. And that's what we want to look at in chapter 22 and verse 1. Paul says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. When they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." Verse 3 is where we learn something about Paul's education. Paul was born in Tarsus, but he was brought up in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. Now the words "brought up" are one Greek word that means to bring up with the predominant idea of forming the mind. The person who brought up Paul, the person who brought him up with the idea of forming his mind and shaping his mind was Gamaliel. We read about this man in Acts chapter 5. If you'll turn back there, we're going to look at a number of scriptures tonight, and they're very important for us to see. Look at Acts chapter 5, because we want to learn something about this man at whose feet Paul was brought up. We want to learn something about this man who shaped Paul's mind and the effect that it had in his life. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 34. "Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space." Now what we learn here is that Gamaliel was on the Jewish council. He was on the Jewish council. He was one in the council. And we want to remember that. We also see that he was a Pharisee. He was a doctor of the law. And what that means, a doctor of the law, is exactly what we think. He was a teacher and he was an interpreter of the law among the Jews. He was very highly regarded. He was, as we see in verse 34, had in reputation among all the people. This is the man at whose feet Paul sat. Paul went to Gamaliel's seminary, is what we would say today. This is where he got his spiritual training. Dr. Gamaliel was the teacher. Dr. Gamaliel was the interpreter of the law. And Paul sat at his feet. That conveys a picture to us. It conveys a picture of one who has submitted to his teacher, who is sitting as the student, and listening intently to drink in every word that this man taught. Paul probably felt that he was very blessed to be able to be in Gamaliel's school. And Paul graduated from that seminary, summa cum laude. That's what he said in Philippians 3 and verse 5. Paul said he was an Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Paul was made by man. And specifically, he was made by Gamaliel, this doctor of the law. And we see just how great an effect that Gamaliel had on Paul in Acts chapter 6 at the trial of Stephen. So if you'll reveal the way your Bible, the way my Bible's laid out, chapter 5, 6, and 7 are right there together. Maybe yours are. You won't have to turn the page. But if you do, look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 12. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him, that's Stephen, and called him and brought him to the council. Look at verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, on Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I believe, based on what we just read in chapter 5 and verse 34, that when we read those words that they brought Stephen to the council, that would include Gamaliel. Since he was one of those in the council. Now look at chapter 7 and verse 54. Gamaliel is one of the ones who is hearing Stephen's case. It was his job on the council. And he's just heard Stephen's sermon. In verse 54, we read, "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Verse 57, "Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him." And notice the word "they" in verse 54 and the "they" in verse 57. Who is "they"? I'll give you a thought. It's the council. It's this council. Now look at the middle of verse 58. "And the witnesses lay down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." Now why was Saul there? Why was Saul there? I believe he was there because the man at whose feet he sat was there. Gamaliel was there. This doctor of the law, this teacher and interpreter of the law was there. I believe that Gamaliel was one of the witnesses here. And when we read that word "witnesses," we think, well, that means he was just witnessing what was taking place. Doesn't mean that. Gamaliel was a doctor of the law. And because he was a doctor of the law, he would have known very well the law of Deuteronomy 17 and verse 6. "At the mouth of two witnesses or three shall he that is worthy of death be put to death." And verse 7 says, "The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death." You see, the witnesses were not just observers. The men on the council were not just observers. They were active participants. They were the ones who cast the stones. And so I believe that Gamaliel Maybe you say, how do you know he was there? Maybe he wasn't there. Maybe he wasn't. I'm just telling you, I believe he was. I believe that Gamaliel, as a member of the council, was one of the witnesses, one of the participants in Stephen's stoning. And so Saul, who had sat at Dr. Gamaliel's feet, Saul, who had graduated with honors from his cemetery, it's a Freudian slip, I'm sorry, who had graduated with honors from his seminary, and he wanted to be like the doctor who had taught him. The doctor who had taught him so much and shaped his thinking so completely. Saul couldn't be a witness. He could not cast a vote as to what would happen to Stephen because he wasn't on the council. But he could consent and agree with Stephen's death by having the witnesses lay their clothes at his feet so they could cast the stones. And who do you think the first one was that Saul told that he would be honored to watch his clothes? Exactly. His professor at the seminary. The man at whose feet he sat. Dr. Gamaliel. And I want us to see the influence of this man, Gamaliel. And I want us to see the influence of his seminary. Look back at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Here in this chapter, we have the first persecution of the church. Peter and John are going into the temple and they see this man who is lame on his feet. He's begging for alms. And Peter and John look at him. They steadfastly look at him and they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's exactly what this man did. He rose up and walked. And it gives Peter an opportunity to preach a message following the healing of this lame man. And we see in chapter 4 and verse 4 that about 5,000 men heard the word and believed. That's the indication of the verse. And so Peter and John are arrested. As we see in verses 5 and 6 and verse 8, they were brought before the leaders of the nation of Israel, the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. I believe that means they were brought before the council. And when they were asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says in verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you. Whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And we want to notice something here. And that is the perception of Peter and John by the council. Their perception of Peter and John is that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled and they took knowledge. They marveled and they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, this is a very important verse in our understanding of those words in Galatians 1:1. Neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. What we have in this 13th verse is what I call the seminary attitude. The seminary attitude. The marvel of these men on the council, many, if not most of whom, had in all likelihood attended Gamaliel Seminary. Their marvel was that men who had not been to Gamaliel's seminary, and therefore, as they saw them, were unlearned and ignorant. What they marveled at is that these men, who they perceived to be unlearned and ignorant men, could even know the Old Testament Scriptures. Because that's what Peter is quoting in verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Peter is quoting from Psalm 118 and verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. Now, first of all, Peter is applying and identifying the stone. He identifies this stone who's mentioned in the Old Testament as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then he is applying and identifying these men on the council as the builders. As the builders who refused and set at naught this stone, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they refused and set him at naught. And this unlearned and ignorant man tells them what refusing and setting at naught meant. It meant that they crucified him. And their marvel was that men who had not been to Gamaliel Seminary, and therefore, in their book, were unlearned and ignorant men, could even know the Old Testament Scriptures, much less apply them just by being with Jesus. Just by being with Jesus. This is the seminary attitude. And may I say that it is alive and well today. We have men here in this church. Brother Dwight, Brother Jim, Brother Jed, who have the gift to teach and preach the Word of God. And that gift that they have is neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And if a group of preachers, particularly preachers who are by man, heard these men in this church preach, you know the questions they would ask Dwight, Jim, and Jed? Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to school? What seminary did you attend? And when Dwight and Jim and Jed would say, none. I've just been with Jesus. Brother Jim stated that very thing at the close of one of his messages a few months back. He said, this is what I do. Study the Bible. The Lord in me. And when these by man preachers hear that, their perception would be exactly what the perception of these seminary graduates is here. That these are unlearned and ignorant men. They have to be. Because they just could not know and apply and teach and preach the Word of God by just being with Jesus. Ah, but you see, they can. They can. In fact, that's the only way that those who have the gift of teaching and preaching can learn and know and apply and teach and preach the Word of God. It's to be with Jesus. But there would be a barrier in that room. There would be a barrier as there is here. A barrier created by this seminary attitude. This is one of the divisions, and Lord willing, we'll talk more about this maybe in another message. But this seminary attitude is one of the divisions in the Church of Jesus Christ today. This is one of the reasons that we don't all speak the same thing. It's one of the reasons that there's division. One of the reasons that we aren't perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It's because there is a barrier between those who have been to the schools and the seminaries, many of whom are by man, those who have the gift of teaching and preaching, and have just been with Jesus. And because of that, they're perceived as unlearned and ignorant men. It's a division, it's a barrier based on where men went to school or didn't go to school, or whose ministry they sat under, or whose ministry they appreciate. Paul went to seminary. Paul sat at the feet of the foremost doctor of the law of his day, Dr. Gamaliel. Paul graduated at the top of his class, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. A Pharisee. He looked so good. He had all the credentials. He was by man. The only problem is that he was lost. And what did this by man seminary graduate do? Well, look over a few pages at Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. And Paul was consenting, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. What did this seminary graduate do? He made havoc of the church. And how did he do that? By entering into every house and haling. That word haling means to draw. It means to drag. Saul made havoc of the church by entering into every house and haling, dragging men and women and committing them to prison. Now we read that and we think, you know, I sure am glad that nothing like that is happening today. But I want to suggest to you tonight that it is happening today. We have Sauls coming out of the seminaries of this country. Men who have sat at the feet of the Gamaliels in these seminaries. The doctors of the law. The teachers. The interpreters of the law. The interpreters of the Word of God. Men who are highly regarded by the world. You mention their name, people know them. Men who are had in reputation among all the people. And their students sit at their feet. And they hang on every word that comes out of their mouths because they want to be just like them. They want to be a Dr. Gamaliel. They want to be a doctor of the law. And what do the graduates of these seminaries do? They do exactly what Saul did. They make havoc of the church. They've made havoc of churches across America. How do they do it? They do what Saul did. They enter into the house of the Lord and they hail. They draw men and women and young people away from the truth of the Word of God and commit them to prison. The prison of humanism. The prison of textual criticism. The prison of the oldest and best manuscripts. The prison of all these new versions of the Bible. In that prison, the people who they have drugged there, they hear the blood atonement questioned. That's just that old slaughterhouse religion. You don't want to talk about the blood. They hear the virgin birth questioned and denied. And therefore the deity of Christ questioned and denied. They hear that hell and the lake of fire are not real. A loving God would not send people to hell because, as they hear over and over and over, love is God. We're all going to heaven, they hear, just by different roads. You can't be dogmatic about there's only one way to go to heaven. They hear that churches need to be inclusive and welcoming. They hear that doctrine divides, but love unites. And they hear that the people that need to be avoided are the fanatics. The fanatics, they're the ones that are the danger. And you know who the fanatics are. They're the unlearned and ignorant. The ones who have been with Jesus. The ones who are simply trusting Jesus and His Word, the King James Bible. Trusting Him and Him alone. America is full of these kinds of preachers. Preachers who are by man. Is it any wonder that God says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And who are His people? It's every man and woman and child, according to Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world, and they that dwell therein. And in that sense, we're going to talk about another sense of those words in another message. But in that sense, God's people, millions and millions and millions of them right here in this country, are being destroyed in churches that are led by pastors who are by man. By man. They're being led by men who have rejected, been made pastors and teachers, but they're men who have rejected knowledge. The knowledge of God, men in whose lives mercy and truth have never come together. They're lost, just as Saul was. They have all the right credentials. They have all of the right pedigrees and the doctorates. They have everything except salvation. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Those verses are not unrelated. And the connection between them is Galatians 1:1. These words that are so critical to the pattern for the local New Testament church. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. There's more that we want to say, but it'll have to wait to another message. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for how plain and simple that it is. And we pray that we would never leave the simplicity that is in Christ. That we would not lead the simplicity that is in your word. The simplicity of the patterns that you put here in this book. We thank you for Calvary Memorial Church. And we pray that we would allow you by an act of our will, we would allow you to keep this church from turning to the right hand or to the left. We pray that you would help us as we study these things together, not to cause ourselves to be puffed up, but to cause ourselves to see the great need in this hour for churches to follow the pattern of this book. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.